WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Edward Wilkerson is a Chicago-based jazz composer and saxophonist who is not yet a household name, even in the jazz world. But his records have made it onto 10 best lists in Newsweek, USA Today, and the Philadelphia Inquirer. His music, he describes as modern music that retains the pageantry, color, and humor of a night at the Cotton Club of Harlem in the 30s. He leads a 25-piece big band called Shadow Vignettes, and a scaled-down version, an octet called Eight Bold Souls. The octet has a new album. Edward Wilkerson studied music at the University of Chicago and the AACM School of Music. It was the AACM Musicians Cooperative that introduced him to the sound of a modern big band.
One of the most fantastic experiences was coming to Chicago and hearing the AACM big band, and that group it just wiped me out. They used to play every Monday night at a place called Transitions East on the south side of Chicago, and I listened to the band a lot, and then after a while I played in the reed section, and it was quite an experience for me.
How did you organize your first big band? I'm wondering, in part, how you found so many really good musicians to bring together.
Well, originally, Shadow Vignettes, believe it or not, started out as a trio. It was myself, Yosef Ben-Israel on bass, and Reggie Nicholson on drums. And we would perform, and people would come up, and they'd say they'd like to play with the group. So it became a five-piece group, and then we did some things with nine pieces, 11, and then I went ahead with a full big band instrumentation. And then about a year before we did the album, we added some pieces that included strings. And we kind of grew to 25 members, but I've made a promise that we will not get any larger than that because it becomes kind of unmanageable. So right now we're kind of sticking with 25 members, and we're touring with that size group now.
You've performed in a lot of really different settings. You've performed with a lot of jazz musicians, a lot of jazz avant-gardists. When you were coming of age, you performed with Joseph Jarman and Roscoe Mitchell. You also, though, performed in a lot of rhythm and blues groups and soul groups with Little Anthony and the Imperials, Albert King, yeah. The Drifters.
Yeah.
Did you see that as a way to make money, or were you really into it?
Oh, both. I mean, it was money, but I was very honored to do many of those concerts. Playing with Little Anthony, I mean, to be on stage and to hear some of those songs, it really gave me goosebumps. And to meet him, his name is Anthony Gourdin, and he spoke of one of the most important times musically for him was when he went to hear Coltrane play saxophone and the influence that he had on his singing. And that's, he's very well versed musically. I mean, he listens to everything. And I had a chance to travel with Gene Chandler, the Duke of Earl. And these are songs I grew up with, and to be on stage with giants like this, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fabulous. I mean, it wasn't a lot of money, but the money was part of it, though. But the main thing was to be in contact with musicians like this, and it helped to add to some of the vocabulary that I think is kind of at my disposal.
What kinds of things musically do you think you picked up?
Well, there's a certain immediacy in traveling on the road in that type of circuit, what some people might call the Chitlin circuit or whatever, but there's an immediacy in the music, and there's a need to make contact with people in that music. And I would always like to have that in what I do. I try to maintain that in what I do. And also, working with like Albert King, we would play a concert till like 2 or 3 in the morning, and then he would hop in the bus and drive all night to the next concert. And to see people like that with that kind of commitment is you don't find it in too many other types of music now. And to see how they lead a band, and to how they work with their sidemen, how they organize their tours, and it's a learning process. It was a real learning process for me, not just about the music, but in how to make music a part of your life and how to make your life music. And for me, it was very important to be with people like this. And I'll do it again. You know, if the opportunity is right, I will go out again like that, because it's a very valuable experience.
Are there things that you learned from being on the road with these musicians that you applied to taking your own band on the road? Things to look out for?
Yeah. I think with, especially with Shadow Vignettes, since it's such a large group, I'm very conscious of having the correct chemistry with the group. And I think you don't want to have a group that's all of the same type of person, because you need a certain chemical reaction to happen on stage, and you can't get it if everyone's the same. You need some people who have certain qualities of stability in their musicianship. And then you need a few people on stage who each night you never know what they're going to do. I mean, there's that certain unpredictable something that makes things happen, and they instigate things on stage in a musical sense. And you need some of those people in the group, and you need a good melange of people in order to make a certain reaction happen. And I've been very conscious of how musicians put these groups together, and I think most of the better group leaders are very conscious of the chemistry of musicians, and you'll find that they'll include a large dichotomy of people, of musician in their groups, and I've tried to maintain that in Shadow Vignettes and in Eight Bowl Souls.
You know, on your first album, on your big band album, you didn't perform. You composed all the music and you led the band, but you didn't play on it. On your new album, the old Eight Bold Souls album, you do perform. What's behind that switch? How come you didn't perform on the first one and you do perform now?
Well, with Shadow Vignettes, I initially felt more comfortable on stage just trying to direct the band and keep track of things. Now when we perform, I do play a little bit. But there's so many good soloists in the band, and I felt kind of funny getting up there and taking a lot of solos and everything. Now I feel a little more comfortable, and I feel that the music, the conception of the band is a little more solid, where I feel like I can turn my back on these guys.
In a lot of ways, New York is really the place to get recognition.
Mm-hmm.
What keeps you in Chicago? Do you plan on staying there?
I think I've made a certain commitment to Chicago, and I'd like to stay here. I like the city. I'm from Cleveland originally, which is kind of similar, but it's a little smaller than Chicago. I think being here offers a lot of opportunities for me. I like New York. I like to visit, but it's I think it's a little too fast-paced for me. I get a little too nervous there. And Los Angeles is a little too easygoing. So Chicago offers the best of both worlds. So I'm going to stay here. I think you'll see in the next few years that there'll be a decentralization of, I think, the artistic community, in the sense that people might not have to go to New York to be successful artistically. I think it used to be like that, where I always tell about... I used to be able to tell where a tenor saxophonist came from by the way he played, and that was during the 30s and 40s and 50s, but now, in the last 20 years or so, you can't make that distinction necessarily, but I think we'll return to a time when there'll be regional bands and people will be able to stay in their cities, make contributions, and still have an impact nationally and internationally.
Jazz composer and saxophonist Ed Wilkerson, his new album Eight Bold Souls is on Sesame Records. Thank you. This is Fresh Air.